We having fun? Everybody having everybody good? Everybody having a good time? Awesome. Awesome. Let me just pause right here and just take this moment for those that are just now joining us online. We're so glad to have you guys along for the ride. Come on, everybody. Let's welcome all those that are here. So awesome. So awesome. What a wonderful service we are having here. And we've actually been in a series that we've entitled Believe, and this is actually the conclusion of that series. And I want to just get right into it. There are some message notes there for you to follow along in your worship guide. There's some fill in the blanks, and there's also those notes are available also online. For those of you that are watching online, you're welcome to follow along with us, and you can download those notes from our website there. Follow along with us. In Matthew chapter 2, we kind of use this as a theme verse for this series. And we know this story pretty well. But this is the scene where we see the wise men have understood that there is a star that is an indicator to them that the Messiah has come, that he has been born. And they have followed this star, and they have approached now the Christ child. We actually, in our manger scene, we have the wise men there at the manger scene, but actually they probably didn't arrive till a couple of years later. It said, Scripture records it, that they went into the house where the young child was, probably about 2 years of age. And so they approach, and they bring with them some gifts. And so let's pick it up here in chapter 10, where it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they did something. They opened their treasures and presented to him some gifts. And we know those gifts. There's three gifts that were given. It was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so for each week, we have broken down each of these and what they represent. The gold represents the deity of Christ, and that he came not just as a man, but he came as God himself. He was God-man, as theologians call him, because he was 100% man, yet 100% God. We broke that down, and I encourage you, if you missed that, be sure and go online and listen to that again. Those messages are archived there for you. And then the second week, we talked about the second gift, which is frankincense. And frankincense represents the sacrifice of Christ. So gold, the deity of Christ. Frankincense, the sacrifice of Christ, that he was not just, it just didn't come to be born in a manger, and that was the end of it, but he came with a purpose, and that was to die on the cross and be the sacrifice for our sins and pay a debt for us, a sin debt for us that we couldn't pay. And let me tell you, you don't have to pay a sin debt because it's already been paid for you in full. That's good news, everybody. And then we looked at last week the gift of myrrh, which represents the suffering of Christ. So if Christ was to be born to die, why didn't he just die right away? But instead, he lived out 33 years on this earth, suffering and going through everything that we went through, so that when we come to him, he can relate to everything we ever go through, and so he understands. But here's what I want to show you this morning, the big reveal of all of this, that we talk and we focus on these three gifts that were given from these wise men, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But actually, these three gifts were not just about what the wise men brought, but it was about what Jesus brought to us. It wasn't so much about, what we can bring to him, but it's what he can do for us. Amen? And so that's good news, everybody. Just like the star that was pointing to where Jesus lay, the star was not the star. The star was the star pointing to where the real star lay, right? And the gifts that the wise men brought were only pointing out the true gift that was brought to us. And that's what we're going to talk about today, and that is the greatest gift that was brought to us. And that gift is called Jesus. Jesus. And what was this gift? Simply, this gift was God's gift to us, was the love of God. There in your message notes, write that down. Jesus was simply the gift of God that is called the love of God. It was simply the love of God manifest in the flesh. It was not mere man, but it was God. It was the Word that the Bible describes it as, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and lived among us. So God put skin on it. So instead of God just being a God that's far removed and some God that does these mighty things. Now he was a God that we could relate to, a God that was now we refer to as God Emmanuel, God come to be with us. That is entirely different. And I love the what some people have called the gospel in the nutshell that's found in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Not in your notes, but I love the next verse. In verse 17, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So if you don't get anything else this morning, I hope you get this, that this message that we read about in the Bible is one big love story. Some of you guys don't like to read love stories. Well, this is one. I'm just telling you right now. This is a love story. From beginning to end, it's one huge love story about how God came to us. And as we look at this gift that God gave, this gift of love, look, really, that's really what it is. That, write that down. It is the gift of love. To break this out is to describe what this is. It is a gift of love. Write that down, and then beside that, just write the word gold, because this wasn't just any kind of love. This was God love. This was the agape love. It was that love that was beyond what we can even describe. It's a love that's based on not our us, but it's a based on who he is. It's based on him. There's no preconditions that have to be met. We could come to him as we are, and he loves us right where we are. In fact, John, 1 John 4 and 8 says that God is love. I mean, he doesn't just love. That isn't something he just does. He is indeed love. Romans 5, 8 says this. I love this. It says that God demonstrates. He demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in the condition you are right now, God loves you dearly. It isn't that you have to get yourself together to meet his approval. He loves you just as you are. Just isn't that good news, everybody? Come on. Just as you are, he comes and he loves us. And it is love in action. He demonstrates it for us. And then the next thing we see about this gift, it's a gift of freedom. A gift of freedom. And maybe you need to write beside this one the word frankincense. Y'all know how to spell that, right? Frank. I-N-N-sense. C-E-N-S-E. Frankincense. Just put frank, okay? Because he didn't just come as God, but he came as our sacrifice, meaning that this was a gift of freedom, and so your freedom is paid in full. Let me just tell somebody today, freedom is available. Freedom is available. You don't have to be bound to yesterday. God took care of yesterday so that you can have for tomorrow. He settled yesterday so that you could be free. Amen. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And this freedom that he gives to us, he provides everything that we have need of. Everything is provided in that sacrifice. Matthew 1:21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And I just have to accent that, from their sins. Jesus didn't just come to save you in your sins. He didn't just come to love you. I love them as they are, and I accept them. No, it was more than that. It went a further than that, and that is that he didn't just save you in your sins. You got to keep doing the same thing you always are bound to do, and what grandpa did, and what the one before that did, and it's who I am, and it's my makeup. No, God came to save you from your sins, that life can be different. It doesn't have to be like it was. You can start brand new today. Excuse me for getting excited, but this is exciting stuff. Amen. He came to save us from our sins. Then there's another part of this gift, and that is it's the gift of life. Write the word beside that word life. Write the word myrrh. M-Y-R-R-H. Myrrh. And so he didn't just sacrifice, but he suffered. For 30 years before he even began his ministry, he went through everything you and I have went through, and he suffered. That means that when you go through something, he understands. And because he understands, he qualifies, get this, to be your best friend. Because no one understands. like Jesus. 1 John 4 and 9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might, I love this, live through him. In fact, Jesus worded it this way, life to the full, to the full. So that means, look at this, that life is so full that it's as it should be. Not I'm surviving barely, you know, come on, just help me survive through this season, Pastor. Just help me get through the Christmas rush. I'm just barely surviving, hanging on. And I know it's a whirlwind right now, everybody. But the fact is, Jesus came that your life may be full and be lived out the way that he always intended it to be. Let me break this down for you. This is kind of just a recap of where we've been. But we've looked at this, that just I want you to get a hold of this. It's the gift of God. The gift of gold represents God and that he is the deity of Christ. And our response to that should be that we believe on Jesus, the Son of God. And then there's the gift of frankincense, which represents the sacrifice of Christ. And so what should our response be to the sacrifice of Christ? That we believe on Jesus, the Lamb of God. And then there's another gift, and that's the gift of myrrh. And myrrh represents the suffering of Christ. Well, and so look at this. So we should believe upon Jesus, our intercessor. And then today, look at this, the greatest gift, Jesus, the love of God. And what should our response be? And here it is, that we should believe on Jesus, our Lord of all. In our pre-message video, you saw this, and let me just share this with you. I love how John puts it. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. Then he goes on to say, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But this is the kicker right here. This is the power verse. Verse 12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And that word believe, that's what we have been emphasizing through this series, to believe in him. So it's a belief, I'm going to put it this way, believe on him. Maybe you think it's just a play of words. But sometimes we believe in something, and we say, well, we believe that he lived, he's historic. We believe in this event called Christmas, we believe. But believing on him, meaning we place our life on him, that once we really recognize who he is, things are going to change. The wise men came to him, but the Bible records that after they encountered the child, that they went a different way. Their life changed. Something changed because they had placed their life on him. So how does all this apply to our life? I mean, how does it all make sense? How does that affect our life? How does that change things? Because here's what can be a dilemma at times. We call ourselves a Christian, but sometimes if we're not careful, it's almost a cultural statement. It's just kind of what we do. We go to church on Sundays, and we may even read our Bible and pray over our meals and, you know, don't cuss, you know, don't swear, don't chew, don't go with the girls that do, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we do all these things, but yet somehow or other, life is still not good. And perhaps maybe even falling apart at times. And so this thing that we do on Sundays is just a Sunday thing, but it's kind of compartmentalized. So he's God on Sunday, but on Monday it's a whole different story. He's God in the church, in the house here, but in this house, but at my house, it's a different story. There's chaos and drama and turmoil at my house. I'm not relating to anybody. Just trying to make it real. I mean, he's God at Christmas time and Easter, but in between, I'm telling you, this isn't where I live, Pastor. This is not my life. Because it's just different out there. God's God at church, but at my workplace, oh, that's... Anybody want to talk about work right now? At work, it's a whole different story. At school, in the classrooms, in the hallways of classrooms, it's a whole different story, Pastor. It doesn't doesn't really relate. This is a, and so we compartmentalize. And so I want to dedicate this message to those who maybe compartmentalize things, and it's there, but things are not really as they should be. To illustrate that, I have a manger scene. Then we know the manger scene, how beautiful it is on our mantle. Actually, the manger scene, it should be the centerpiece of this whole event. You would not believe, since this, if this is indeed the centerpiece, you would not believe the trouble I had finding the centerpiece, okay? I'm just telling you. I mean, I had a manger scene, but it was all kind of all glued together. I needed one with separate individual pieces. Come on, y'all. Y'all know. Some of you, I sent word out. I got nothing back. I'm just letting you know. Thanks for your help. Appreciate it. No, I went to the store. I went in one store, and I was in the middle of all these Christmas decorations, and they got, and I said, I asked the salesperson, I said, do you have a manger scene? And he said, ooh, that's a good question. And then he said, ooh. And I said, yeah, you feel that too, don't you? Like, I think we missed it. I went to one girl, and she, a salesperson, and she said, well, we don't have those. And I said, well, where's your Christmas decorations? Third floor. Went up third floor. There was one. It wasn't really what I needed, the kind I wanted. And she came. She happened to come by. And I said, there's, and she said, oh, is that what you were looking for? I thought, she doesn't even know what a manger scene is. Manger scene. We put them on our coffee table. They really should be the centerpiece of this whole thing. And, you know, they used to be on our government, come on, properties, city town halls. That's a topic for another day. That's not what I'm here to talk about today. That's a discussion worth having. But really, I'm not so much concerned whether you have this set up in your home as your centerpiece, as so much as I am concerned about it being set up in your heart. And how is that set up? I mean, we know all the pieces. We got baby Jesus. And you got to say it that way, baby Jesus at Christmas time, you know, baby Jesus, sweet baby Jesus. And so baby Jesus is right there. And you got Mother Mary right there, his mother. And we got Father Joseph. And then we've got, we've got the wise men. Don't they look great, wise men? Now, I know y'all can't see this very well because it's tiny. I try to get the big ones, okay? So that's why we got it blown up here, okay? So you're with me, right? You're following me, right? So work with me here. Work with me. And then we've got the shepherd. I wanted a bunch of shepherds, but we got one. He's got a sheep on his back, so you know this is the shepherd, all right? I'm just saying. And then you've got the animals. You got a donkey and a sheep and a cow here. Cow's facing the wrong way. If a cow faces Jesus. There you go. Everything's facing Jesus. So Jesus is the centerpiece of this whole thing. That's kind of the way that's to be laid out, but the problem with this is that if we're not careful, Jesus is not really the centerpiece of our life when it gets right down to it. Now, he may still be in the scene, but to demonstrate this, sometimes what we do, let me just kind of show you how this works. We put Jesus, he's still in the scene, but we kind of put him off to the side, right? And so let's sort of rearrange this a little bit. So let's just take the shepherd. Let's put him as the centerpiece. Let's just change this around and just see how this may play out. So we put the shepherd as the centerpiece of this thing. Now, shepherd, that would represent work. That was a working class that God came and revealed him to, first revealed Jesus to the shepherds, which that's a whole other topic in itself. I think that's cool that he came to the working class there and just said, hey, let's reveal it to them first. You know, the average man, not the king, but just the common man, right? But it represents our work. Now, for a lot of us, I mean, maybe 90% of us, I mean, that's, if we're not careful, that's even our social life. That's where we do life, because that's where we spend most of our time. And it's very easy that becomes sort of the focus of our life, our work, because we put so much time and energy in there that sometimes if we're not careful, other areas get forsaken because we're spending all of our time and effort there at work, all of our energy, all of our effort. We want there to be a great outcome from our work. And yet, what the problem with that is that when we have problems, we have difficulties, and things begin to fall apart, we want to lean into work, and we find out that it really can't do for us what we thought it would do. It lets us down. It's just not designed to help us like we think it will, and so we're let down in that area. So that doesn't work very well. But so let's try another scenario. Oh, come on, let's take the wise men, put them up here. Now they look regal and tall and important and glitzy, and I mean they look like they should be at the center, right? I mean, wise men. But these wise men, I mean, you put them up front, and what that would represent is fame and success and popularity, and you know, these the area of our life that's you know, we want to be successful, we want to be popular, but we know that doesn't always work out. Popularity, you know, is here today and gone tomorrow. Hollywood has demonstrated for us time and time again that, you know, and we think, well, that's going to give us satisfaction. There's going to be some satisfaction associated with that, but it doesn't do for us what we think it will. Wealth, obviously, if you can give gold as a present, that's a pretty good indication that they were wealthy. And so we think wealth is the answer. We think money is the answer. If I just had more money, then that would solve some things. And so we go out and we do foolish things, and we buy things that we can't afford to impress people we really don't like just because we want to look successful. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And we find out that really does let us down, that isn't really what is going to satisfy us. And so that doesn't really work at the center. And so let's put them back over where they were. That doesn't seem to ever work out. Let's try Mary and Joseph. Let's put Mary and Joseph up first. Now, that would represent family. That's pretty good. Family, you'd think that sounds good. Family first. It sounds good, but here's the thing about that. I think that this is why a lot of people get hurt over situations where some people don't get hurt in those same situations, because we have taken family and we have made them the center focal point and source of our happiness, and we have unrealistic expectations upon people that they were never designed to be or fulfill. In fact, I talk about this in premarital counseling. You know, sometimes we think that we expect that girl or that guy to be my answer, right? I mean, she's the answer, she's my everything, and we put all our emphasis. I heard of a pastor one time at a marriage seminar, and they asked him the question. They said, does your wife make you happy? And he just thought he'd mess with them. He knew what they were asking, but he said, no. And they thought, well, that's not, ooh. You know, it was like, ooh, went all over the room, and they thought, well, that's not the right thing, especially when she's sitting beside you. That's not the right thing to say. But what he was saying was, no, I had to be happy myself first, but she can't be, I'm happily married, but she can't be the source of it. And so sometimes we put undue pressure on the people in our family, expecting them to fulfill things within us that they're not capable of doing, right? So family, that doesn't really work. And say, okay, I get your point, what you're trying to say here, but wait, and you've played out all the scenarios. Well, actually, there's another scenario we haven't played out yet. Let's put the animals up front. To which you're saying, oh, come on, Pastor. We don't put animals at our centerpiece. Oh, come on. I've seen your Instagram. Some of you put, like, Christmas clothes on your animals, on your pets. Don't do that. Just don't do that. But what this would represent is, you know, those things we enjoy. The beach, the lake house, golf, you know, sports, football. And if it's football and if your team's Florida State, it could let you down. It could let you down. I'm just saying. It's a rough year. I'm just saying. It could let you down. I heard one guy say that his emotions rise and fall with wins and losses. You know, that's just not a healthy thing. So you're going to set your affections, or you know, your happiness based on a 19-year-old. Not too smart. Not too smart. It will let you down. You know, you have to get a whole new coach and everything. I'm just saying. You know, I'm just saying. So here's the thing. It's okay to have money, and it's okay to have enjoyment. It's okay to have sports. It's okay to enjoy creation, enjoy the beach and the lake. God created that for your enjoyment. Those are okay. God gave you those things. But they've just got to have the right place. things have got to be in his right order, or none of this works. So here's how this has really got to work. The only way this really works is that we bring Christ in the center of it all. And everything revolves around him and focus on him. Look how everybody's just looking at Jesus. There you go. And that's the only way that this thing, this scene is really going to make sense. Because he's the one that knows how to take care of all these areas of our life. You know, the Bible is very, very practical. It's very practical. I mean, if something's broke, if your car breaks, it's probably a good idea to take it perhaps to the guy who made the car, who designed the car, if you get for the best chance of getting that thing fixed or understanding what the problem is. Well, God's the one that made us, and he knows how all this stuff is supposed to work. Jesus put it this way. He said, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. It's putting things in its right place. And so, as a pastor, my job, I think it's not really, honestly, I got the greatest job in the world, by the way. I really do. I just think it's awesome because I get to focus on what really matters. And I'm not here to preach at you. In fact, life already preaches at you, doesn't it? I mean, you can figure out what doesn't work, because life's gonna preach it. My job is to help you kind of just get the table set right and get things in its right place. Practical steps. What steps can I take in this area? That's what we're about around here, is just helping people take their next step, helping them figure out how to put things in order so that life works. I want to give you a scripture. The New Testament is extremely practical. It talks about relationships with your kids, with your wife, with your finances, with all these things. But I want to take you to a book, a small book. It's Colossians chapter 1. It's a real easy read. You could read it very quickly. But if you were to look at that book of Colossians, the top of your Bible, it may say different things, but it may say something as a header of that book. It may say something like this: the supremacy of Christ. Meaning you really can't even start working on the practical until Jesus is the center of your life. Think about it. Even our solar system has a sun that everything revolves around, and those things don't work unless there's a sun. Well, in this thing called Christianity and called life, really, the only way it works is if the sun, Jesus the sun, is at the center and everything revolves around this. Let me show it to you. Colossians chapter 1 says this: we look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. So he's a God up there. Okay, I'm down here dealing with life, but he's way up there detached. But I really can't see him. Well, God said, I'm going to do something about that. I want you to be able to connect with me. I want to have a relationship with you. I just want to be removed. I want to be a part of your life. Can I just say, God really wants to be a part of your life? See, I don't know, that may be a novel revelation to someone, that God is not just this departmental thing that we do on Sundays and then we go live our life. Actually, God would like to go to the mall with you. He would really like to go with you to work. He'd like to be invited into your home and into your conversation. I mean, he really would. He wants to be a part. So God said, let me reveal myself. So he says, we look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. So none of this makes sense. None of life makes sense until Jesus is at the center of it all. In fact, it's not even fulfilling. Why is it my relationship with my wife fulfilling? You know, so we say, well, okay, they're not doing for me what I need, none for me, and I can't. So I'm going to go find another one. And guess what? That one doesn't satisfy. I'll find another one, and that one doesn't satisfy. Why is it? Because that can't be the center. That can't be the source of your peace, the source of your happiness. But when you have Jesus as the center of your happiness, guess what? That marriage is going to work. Guess what? The job's going to work. The school's going to work, because that's not your source. That's perimeter stuff. Jesus, when he's preeminent and he's at the center, I'm telling you, it makes everything work. I'm telling you. Can I tell you, my life, surrendering my life to Jesus doesn't mean that everything's perfect, but I'm going to tell you, he holds it together, and he makes everything make sense. Yeah, there's still stuff going on in different places of my life, you know, around me, but in the center of it all, I have this relationship with Jesus that makes it all make sense. It gives, look, we see God's original purpose in everything created. It makes sense. Look what it goes on to say. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. In him. Go on, let's look at this. He was there before any of it came into existence. And I wanted to bring it all to this moment to give you this. And holds it all together right up to this moment. To this moment. I just love it. So God came to reveal himself. He wanted to put skin on it, right? He wanted to experience life so that he could understand, so that he could qualify again for being your best friend. That is a precious, precious gift. It's the greatest gift that's ever been given. So I dedicate this message to those this morning that are here in red and green and everything, you know, and you're trying to look like you got it together, but yet it's not. And it's not that Jesus isn't there, but somehow he just doesn't have his right place. I believe that we need to take steps. I'm going to make this very practical. So what can we do? What can I do? Let me give you three very practical steps very quickly. One, invite Jesus to take his rightful place. Write that down somewhere in the blanks there at the bottom of your notes. Invite Jesus to take his rightful place. So instead of it being just a cultural thing on Sunday mornings, make him the Lord of all. Let him have his rightful place. And by the way, you've got to invite him. That's a step. You have to invite him. God's not going to barge his way in and take that place in his heart, which is rightfully his, but he's not going to do that. Here's as far as he'll go. He'll knock on the door of your heart, and that's it. So invite him. I encourage you to do that. Number two, involve him in every area of your life. Come on, the mall, hunting, sports, conversations, invite him into that. Number three, ignite a fresh passion to know him more. I just love the way the year ends, don't you? It ends with a celebration of Christmas. Right? Think about it. It all ends in talking about this person of Jesus. That this whole thing all year long has all had to do with Jesus. It's a culmination, and that's just saying that's what this thing really is all about. And then we get a fresh start at the beginning of the year. I encourage you, ignite a new passion within yourself to know him more. I encourage you this year, come be a part of, if you're not in a church somewhere, be a part of this one. I think it's a good one. And here's what I ask you to do. I ask you to do this. Give me 1 year of your life. Give me 1 year. And here's the catch. Go all in. Do everything. Do it all. Come on, get in there, go through the growth track. You just heard about that. Get into a small group. And just whatever we're having at the church, be there, do it. We're going to have 21 days of prayer coming up. Be all in. And I want to tell you something. A year will go by, and you'll say, my life has changed. If you come up a year later and say, well, it didn't work for me, I'll go with you to another church, because I'm telling you, it's going to work. You're not going to say that. I had a conversation just a few weeks ago with Kyung Jia Choi, if you don't mind me saying this, I asked for her permission. I could share this. She came to me a couple years ago. We did a 21 days of prayer. We get up early and pray for an hour before the beginning of the day. She was telling me that ignited something within her. And for 2 years, every morning she gets up and has that time of prayer and in close relationship with God. Come on, it's going to make a difference in your life. And she was just talking about how it's changed her life. I'm telling you. It works. It works. I encourage you, take these steps and go all in. And write this down today. And I encourage you to write this down if this is indeed what you're going to do today. Today I make Jesus the center of my life. Write that down and bow your heads with me if you would. Jesus, I just thank you for what you offer and how you've come to change our life forever. Today, it's a beautiful opportunity to allow you to come in and get our life in right order. Jesus, help us now to step into this thing where life can be better than we ever imagined as we make you the center of our life. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to give an opportunity for you to do just that. I want to lead in a prayer right where you're seated, and here's how we do it. We don't embarrass you or have you stand or come to the front, but we just pray with you right where you are. And I'm going to invite you to join me in this prayer. If you're saying, today, Pastor, yeah, Jesus is in my life, but he's really... And sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes things happen, but he just kind of gets pushed to the side, and other things become the focal point. Today is an opportunity to make that right, get him in his proper space, place, and everything else will work as it should. Today, I want to lead in a prayer. If you're watching online, if you're here, those of you that say, today's the day, what a beautiful opportunity to be on Christmas Eve for everything to change. I want to pray with you. Here's how we're going to do. While heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if that's you, say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? I want you to just slip up your hand and you can put it right back down. I just want to pray with. Yes. Proud of you. Good job. Proud. Proud. Yes. Good job. All over this building. Be bold. Come on. Slip up a hand. Anyone else? Say, that's me, Pastor. Count me in. Count me in. Yes. I see your hand. God bless. Good job, man. Good job. Awesome. Awesome. So awesome. If you're watching online, stop whatever you're doing and just join with us. Whether you're watching it live or recorded, it doesn't matter. All you got to do is mean this prayer. I want to invite you to pray with us. Come on, just pray something like this. I want to have everybody to pray out loud just to encourage those that need to pray it. Come on, from your heart, I'm just going to help you with the words. Just mean it right now. Just pray. Lord Jesus, today, thank you for coming for me. You are the greatest gift ever given. Today, I don't just leave that gift unwrapped. I open it. I open my heart. I accept you now. I ask you to come in. Rearrange my life. Be the center of it all. Today I surrender. I ask you, Lord, forgive me for going my way. God, I put you first now. And I accept you. Come on the inside. Make me brand new. Come on, say this. I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. Now, Lord, may you strengthen them, encourage them, step by step, day by day, as they follow you. And help us, Lord, as a church, always, 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 always put you center of our life. Lord, our relationship with you is the most wonderful, precious thing. God, help us now. Lord, always put you first. Jesus, be the Lord. Be the center of it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.